Okay, well, it is really great, to be here just with the hometown crowd. I've been as Marian said, I've been at New Life since 2005. When I moved here, thinking I'd be here for just 9 months to study at CCF, and I lived with Ginny McLaughlin, who a lot of you know, rented a room from her, and I had been praying, Lord, just please help me find a church quickly, so I don't have to, shop around. I don't have much time here. And Ginny brought me to New Life, and I just loved it from that first Sunday. So this is really, really a gift to be able to be here with sisters that I know a lot of you. So I'm excited for this weekend and have prayed for all of you that God would send a specific word of encouragement, comfort, counsel, and or challenge to each person here, including myself, because I need encouragement too. So I'm just hoping that God's going to speak to each one of our hearts. A few years back, there was an ad in, probably a lot of you get this, those big packets of ads and coupons that, stuff your mailbox about once a week. And there was one in there that particularly caught my eye because the top of the ad said, end your pain. And right underneath that, there was a picture of Jesus. And it wasn't an ad for a religious conference or a Bible study or anything like that. It was actually an ad for a copper magnetic therapy Jesus bracelet. And if you don't believe me, I have it right here. And here's what it said. End your pain. Penetrating power of magnets. Soothing power of copper. The healing power of Jesus. Now, who wouldn't want that, right? Well, here's what it went on to explain. This bracelet combines the most powerful forces of heaven and earth. Do you believe? Wear this solid copper magnetic therapy Jesus bracelet for the most powerful healing and comfort you've ever experienced. Copper has been relied on for centuries to ease the pain of arthritis. Magnets are used therapeutically to ease muscle pain, tendonitis, back pain, poor circulation, and more. And faith in the miracles of Jesus can not only protect you from physical pain, but soothe your soul in times of stress. This bracelet is fully adjustable to fit most wrists. Order now at this great low price, and you'll get free shipping and handling. Experience the miracle of maximum healing and pain relief. Only $9.97. Now, what's the draw of something like that? Well, we could probably think of lots of things. It's affordable. It's very easy. This is something very low maintenance. Just snap it on your wrist. It comes to us. It's just, pretty much an easy add-on. And sometimes, isn't it true that that's how we can view Christianity? Isn't it? I know I can look at it like that way. That we might see it as something that is low maintenance. It's easy to add on. It comes to us. It's kind of affordable. It's not too bad, And as it said here, this is something I forgot to mention, satisfaction guaranteed or return for your money guaranteed back to you. And so, again, sometimes I think we can view Jesus like this. We look at him and this whole Christian thing, and I would assume, since we're all human beings in this room, women, that in this room there's probably every possible place of where you're at spiritually. Regardless of how long you've been coming to New Life or another church, we're probably all over the map in where we are and the way we view Christ and even the way we experience him. What I've found, I think, at different places in my own journey and with a lot of women that I've gotten to know, that sometimes we can view Jesus in this way, that, it's pretty low maintenance, just kind of add him on. There's really not a whole lot of cost to it. Sometimes we even look at Christianity as, this is really the best it's going to get. So just, go for it. Like a man that I knew a while back, actually through Harvest USA, he told one of my colleagues that he said, because my colleagues were just trying to get a feel of where he was at with the Lord, and he said, here's how I view Christianity. It's like, when you pay that $9 ticket to get into a movie, and the movie's really not that great, but you figure, I've already paid my $9, so I'm just going to go ahead and stick it out. He's like, that's kind of how I'm viewing the Christian life. And I thought, wow, that is not what Christ has for us. He has so much more for us than just a bracelet that we might slap on to our hearts, we might even say, to just ease our pain. Jesus has never meant for himself to be an accessory in our lives, to be something that is added on to our lives on top of everything else. Some of you, again, may have had that feeling or had that thought of, you know what? I mean, we wouldn't say money back guaranteed, give me my money back, but we might say, you know, Lord, this just isn't working. I've had lots of women say that to me, and I've thought that at different times myself in my own walk with Christ. You know, Lord, this isn't what I signed up for. This isn't what I thought this was going to be like, whether if it's A, B, C, or D. And so what I want to encourage you with and say to you tonight, sisters, and this weekend, is that whether if you are in, and I appreciate so much how Aaron just kind of set the heart tone for us, that no matter where you're at, if you are coming into this weekend in the depths of something really hard, struggling with something, if you're in a place of really experiencing the heights of earthly pleasures, and you may be in that place, or you might be just kind of in that occasional place of just a season of maybe pain-free living, which I think kind of comes and goes. A lot of us can drift in one of those two extremes of Christianity, of viewing Christ as either an add-on or just kind of resigning ourselves of, you know what, I think this is just the best it's going to get. You know, it's not really working, but it's the best it's going to get. I'm just going to bide my time. And those are false extremes. Christ has so much for us. And that is what I hope that we're going to be able to consider together this weekend. And as we look at our real life and the real joy that Christ does have for us, in the midst of wherever we're at, in the midst of surprises, whether they're pleasant or painful, and life is full of a lot of those things, isn't it? Full of painful surprises or exhilarating surprises, interruptions, pauses, losses. There's so many different things that come at us that kind of take us off guard. And again, that includes things that are really exhilarating. Like, I had probably one of the biggest surprises of my life last Sunday. I was visiting a church where I'm friends with the pastor and his wife and their daughter. It's Shalom Assembly of God in Willow Grove. I don't know if any of you know that church. I had a sweet time of fellowship with them. And to try to make this short, the daughter is a young adult. She's a worship leader. And I'd had dinner with her a couple of months ago. And over the course of that dinner, I told her what had been happening in my life in the recent months. And one of those things was I had finally met with Lynn Leary after about 6 to 7 months of trying to get together for my first guitar lesson. Because I had made the mistake in my small group last year with Kim Chez and some others here. We were talking in our group, and I don't even remember how we got onto this, but I mentioned, you know what, one of my regrets is I never stuck with playing the guitar. I would have loved to know how to play the guitar. Well, they just jumped on my back. I go, Ellen, you need to learn how to play the guitar. And Lynn's like, I've got a guitar, I'll teach you. And I was like, whoa. So finally, after all this time, with a lot of anticipation, Lynn and I finally meet. And she's excited. She's got all her notes out. She planned this whole lesson. So we sit down. And she shows me how to hold the guitar, and I had taken lessons for, you know, like 6 months or something when I was in sixth grade, and, you know, learned how to play songs like Dust in the Wind by Kansas, a little bit of Stairway to Heaven by Led Zeppelin, all these like crazy songs, and forgot it all. So Lynn and I sit down, and within 5 minutes, my guitar career is shattered. Because my arms are so short and my hands are so small, I could not even do the basic chord. And I don't think Lynn knew what to say. I mean, I was trying to stretch these things as far as they would go, and I could not do it. And we were just stumped. I mean, I just felt crushed. So Lynn said, well, you know, maybe you can find a child's guitar and learn the chords. And I was like, yeah, and she's like, yeah, really, you know, maybe there's someone in the church. I was like, yeah, I mean, I just slumped down. I walked out of there so dejected. So anyway, so I'm meeting, so like 4 or 5 months after that, I'm meeting with Sarah, this worship leader, and I'm telling her this whole sob story. She's like, Ellen, you need to get a travel guitar. What's a travel guitar? She's like, well, it's basically a miniature guitar that sounds like a regular guitar, but it's much smaller. And I was like, okay, you know, maybe I'll check that out on Craigslist. But again, you know, life is full. I mean, it's busy. You guys all know that. To add something new, you've got to remove other things. So I was like, yeah. So anyway, I go to this church, and actually, the reason I was going to Shalom this past Sunday was just this was another surprise. They had, on their own, without me soliciting or saying anything, had actually taken an offering up and had raised like $400 for my trip to Taiwan, which meant so much. This is a tiny church. There was maybe 40 people there this past Sunday. And so I had told them that, you know, way back when. I said, I really want to come and say thank you. So I did that. And after I got done giving my little 10-minute thank you and sharing about the trip, I turn and the pastor's wife, Sarah's mom, is coming towards me. And she's like, well, Ellen, before you get sit down, we want to just bless you with something that we know you've been wanting. And I was so discombobulated because I was in front of the church and I had no idea what she was doing. And I saw, like, I was looking at her face because I was like, what are you doing? What's going on? And I could see this black thing she was holding, but it was small. She's like, we know you've wanted this. And I looked down, saw Martin written across the case. They'd gotten, she's like, a Martin travel guitar. And it is beautiful. And I was stunned. And I mean, those of you, I mean, I'm not a guitar, I mean, I used to not be a guitar person. Now I am. But Martin is. It's a very, not, you know, I guess prettiest, I mean, Jenny, I guess, would know, very quality brand. But I was stunned. I mean, it so surprised me, blessed me. And now I am praying, Lord, how do I respond to this entrusting of such a precious gift? So that was a surprise that was super sweet. There's other surprises that aren't so sweet. A couple of our sisters, Liz Hetrick and Sue Carter, both got the surprise news this morning of their mother's passing away. And I'd encourage you to pray for them this weekend. But that was one of those surprises that rocks your world and shakes you to the core. Our whole nation has been kind of surprised and shocked about this horrific thing that happened in Boston. People's lives taken, families changed, people's physicality permanently changed. I mean, there's been so much that's happened out of that. Our own church, we're in the midst of changes. You know, we're wondering how is the Lord going to bring on a new pastor or new pastors, as you know, we've been talking about, as Ron and our elders have been praying and sharing with us. What's going to happen in our church family? What's going to continue to happen in our lives? And what's happening right now in our lives? What kinds of things are surprising you, interrupting you, rattling you, blessing you? I could list off lots of things, but real life scenarios with your children not going the course that you thought they would. Your marriages or your singleness or your single againness not kind of going the way you thought it would be. Your job environment, just getting older. One of my very dearest friends and a prayer partner of 17 years just turned 70 a few days ago. And she's really facing the reality of her body continuing to get older and just kind of wondering what the Lord has for her. Other things that just interrupt us and, again, cause us reason to pause, like our own struggles with faith. You know, we say, I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son. But don't we all struggle, like, on a day-to-day basis to really believe, like, Father Almighty, are you really almighty? Are you really almighty when I get that bill, when I get that diagnosis, when that person just betrays me? Are you really maker of heaven and earth when Hurricane Sandy hits, when bombs go off? We struggle. I struggle. And it's hard, isn't it, to navigate life, navigate the joys and the sorrows and the ups and the downs, the struggles that we have just within our own bodies and souls with depression and anxiety and so many different things. There's so many surprises. And You know, if only a little copper magnetic therapy bracelet could take it all away. Wouldn't that be nice? Sometimes we think it could be nice, but actually Christ is so much more. And Jesus has so much more for us. He wants so much more for us than to say, you know what, come into the kingdom, call upon me as Savior, and I'm going to give you a bracelet. No, he says, I'm going to give you myself. I'm going to give you my very person. And that's what he offers us, is real joy. And I'm just going to put it out there. I don't have any big secret or a veiled thing I'm going to unveil to you in these talks. We really are talking about Jesus Christ this weekend. He is true. I love that verse is on that postcard, that Jesus said, I am telling you these things. And John 15, after he's shared so much about life in him, abiding in him, union with him, and intimacy, he says, I'm telling you these things so that my joy may be in you and that this joy, your joy, would be complete. That he is trustworthy, that he is good, that he really does have a good plan for us. And we could say that's plan with a capital P, because it's a person. It's Jesus Christ. One of the very biggest surprises that he has ever done in my life is that I am working in this ministry called Harvest USA. This was a shocker for me, a huge shocker. Like, you know, I was kind of smiling to myself as Marianne is reading these things that I've written. I mean, 10 years ago, I would have anticipated if somebody would have said, Ellen, here's your future. You know, you're going to be at this retreat and they're going to be sharing some things you've written. I would have thought, oh yeah, I bet it'll be a woman's guide to pursuing cross-cultural ministry. Or it'll be, you know, maybe we'll have written an article on mentoring women in the Word or something like that. But titles that have sex in them, sexual sanity for women, sex in the single girl. I mean, that was all a huge surprise for me. And when God put this idea for coming on staff at Harvest USA in front of me, I was really scared. I was intimidated. What? Lord, are you serious about this? I mean, I was pursuing opportunity, some overseas opportunities in Russia and Turkey and actually China. They were all scary to me as well, but actually not as scary as Harvest USA was. There was an opportunity to come on in a staff role at a PCA church and overseeing a small groups ministry. And then there was this Harvest USA thing. And it was very scary to me, but everything lined up as far as what I sensed God calling me to do and be and the gifts that he's given me. And all around me, people were saying, yeah, like friends and wise counsel, yeah, Ellen, we think this is a good fit for you, which was a little bit disconcerting to me. You're like, what do you mean? Like, this is a great fit for me. But it really was. And I remember right after I'd accepted the position, going over to CCF in Willow Grove, where I had been an intern, and seeing Julie Lowe, who goes to our church. She was a counselor there. And I remember seeing her and saying, hey, Julie, I just accepted this position at Harvest USA as the women's ministry coordinator. And her very first response is she just smiled. And I was very thankful and excited about this job, but I was still very scared and intimidated. And I remember Julie just saying, wow, Ellen, that's great. You're really going to become an expert for us in these areas for us to talk to. And I just kind of thought, I don't want to be an expert in these areas. And I didn't. And I'm not an expert in these areas. But I will say by God's grace that he's grown me a lot through a lot of my mistakes, through a lot of hours just sitting in that chair, listening to the very fine china of women's souls. So that was a world rocker for me. Not all my family agrees with what I do. They were all behind me when I was in missions. But this one, because of some of our convictions about certain aspects of sexuality, they're not on the same page with me. They believe in me, but a lot of conversation that we used to have doesn't happen anymore because we just don't go there because we're in very different places. So, you know, God's will for us in our real life, where our feet hit the pavement of this real earth, it shakes us at times. It's surprising at times. God edits the scripts that we write for ourselves or that we would write for ourselves. I mean, he has so done that for me. And generally, a lot of times what we can do when that happens, when he enters our circumstances with a surprise, editing, changing things around, you might give yourself what I've diagnosed myself with. And a lot of us counselor types, we're pretty good at self-diagnosis. GIG disorder, the grass is greener disorder. That, Lord, I want that script. I didn't want this one. This isn't the chapter I would have written for myself. I'll take that suffering, not this suffering. I'll take this struggle, not this struggle. I'll take that temptation. I have so many sweet, dear sisters in the Lord who come to me at Harvest with persistent temptations of a relational nature or a sexual nature. And they'd say, Ellen, I don't want this. Why is this wrestling for me? And I don't know. I don't know why God allows us to have certain weaknesses or struggles, but I do know this, that he's wanting to do something in the midst of it. He's wanting to reframe the way we're looking at our lives, including the hard things in our lives. And so this weekend, we're gonna talk about this from several different angles, but we're gonna primarily focus on two women. Two women who both were in the midst of huge surprises that I think that the Lord gave them. But I want us to look at circumstances in their lives as a way for us to see the God of heaven and to see Jesus Christ in their midst, and again, to see him as the source of our true joy. The first woman that we're going to look at is Mary. Mary who bore Jesus. And if there was ever a woman that received a huge world-rocking surprise, it's her. I think most of you probably know her story, maybe know it pretty well from Luke and other of the Gospels. We look at that, at the bearing of Jesus, kind of as a Christmas story. But what I love about looking at her life and circumstances is that Mary's responses to what was entrusted to her give us some things to really hold on to when our worlds are rocked, when our circumstances are shifted, when our surprises come that aren't the type of surprises that we would have liked. And I've had a lot of pleasant and a lot of really painful, heartbreaking surprises in my life, and I'll share about some of those. So I want us to start again with Mary, and I'm not going to read all of Luke 1, 26 to 56. We're going to cover it over the course of the weekend. Tomorrow we're actually going to look at another woman, this woman from Luke 13. But tonight I want us to just look at a portion of this story of Mary's life and begin to look at some of these five, what I might say are anchors, five things for us to hold on to kind of give us a guidance or a path as we navigate struggles or surprises in our life. So I'm going to read this from Luke 1, and I'm just going to read 26 to 37. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of the kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." We'll look at the rest of that tomorrow, but what I want to go ahead and give you is an overview of those five responses. And again, I'm calling them anchors. You can call them, again, paths or truths, things that will tether you to, I think, truth. But here's how I would look at this, these five responses. that she was wholly disturbed. And I'll go ahead and acknowledge what you already see. I've selected D words for all of these, but they do fit. And that's actually what it means when it says she was greatly troubled. It's more than just, like we might say, oh, you know what, that really troubles me, you know, that the weather's not supposed to be great next week. Now, this was something that she was wholly disturbed. She was rattled to the core. Secondly, she asked questions in her doubt. And, you know, I'm assuming a little bit that she was doubting. She may have been doubting. Maybe she was questioning, wondering, just how is this going to happen? And the next three we're going to look at tomorrow. She surrendered as a doula, which is a word for servant. She pursued discipleship, and she danced in praise. Mary experienced all of these and responded through all of these. Tonight I want to look at the first two. And I'll just start by saying this, that let's not gloss over it. She was disturbed, and she did doubt or at least have some questions going on in the midst of it. You see this in the dialogue here. Again, verse 29 says that Mary was greatly troubled. She was disturbed wholly. I want to just emphasize again, this wasn't just a little bit of being unnerved. The context there and the verbiage there means that she was rattled. She was really upset. Have you ever been disturbed that way or troubled that way? And you may be that way tonight, or maybe it was recently. You know, my heart is tender towards Sue and Liz because probably one of the most rattling, disturbing things for me was on September 10th, 2006, when I got a call from my sister. My mom had been declining all summer. I had just started the CCF internship, and I got that call from my sister. And she said, Elle, you better get home today because mom is really going downhill. Rattled, disturbed. I mean, that was the emotional tear of my life, was to lose my mom. So I got on that plane that day, and I was praying on that plane. I didn't know what I was going to find, what was it was going to be like when I got home. And 7 days later, our family was gathered in her hospital room in the middle of the night. The Lord was taking her, and we knew that. We'd taken her off life support at that point, and there's a lot more to this story, but she was taken and taken and taken. And so on September 17th, we were all, like all eight of her children, all five of the in-laws, my father, we were all there, and we saw that heart monitor go from whoop, whoop, whoop. And she passed over into heaven. It was both sacred and sickening in my heart emotionally, what I felt. And if any of you who've experienced the death of someone close to you, knows what that's like. I was wholly disturbed, but I was not crushed. And I remember that coming out of the funeral mass, my mom was in the Catholic Church, coming out of the mass, it was a beautiful day like today, and just my friends were gathered around, one of my pastors in St. Louis, and they were just all, you know, surrounding me. And I remember just saying to them, the Lord is true. The Lord is true, because I had faced what was the most disturbing thing. And I found that in the midst of that, Christ was real. And I could have that joy and that security in Christ. I wasn't saying yippee to Jesus. I wasn't shaking a tambourine. That's what bracelet on Christianity can try to tell us. You know, you need to just feel better. Get your bracelet on, you know? Get your bracelet on and just read it a little more. No, that's not the God of heaven, and that's not Jesus. He does give us real joy through himself, even when our worlds are rocked. And how are you disturbed tonight? Are you rattled? Or just, is somebody in your life rattled? Is there just a circumstance going on that really has you struggling or confused? Notice this, that Gabriel, when it says Mary was troubled, notice what Gabriel doesn't do. He doesn't shame her. He doesn't correct her. He does not get frustrated with her. Mary, come on. I've just told you, you're favored. Come on, praise a little. Mary, how many times have you read the Old Testament scrolls with your parents? Shouldn't you know better by now? No. Gabriel says what? Just what we need to hear. Don't be afraid. I don't know if any of you have NIV or have the Bible on CD, dramatized. I do. I've had it for years. It's NIV, and I listen to it a lot in my car. And sometimes it really nails it with, I think, the dramatization of probably what was really happening. Sometimes I think it really misses it. For example, like in some of these scenes, like with Mary, the dramatized CD will say something like Mary saying, "Wow, how will that be?" They're just totally like not and true, you know? Or saying, "Wow, Gabriel." You know, I mean, there's so many more that sometimes I just have to laugh. And we don't know. We don't know tone in a lot of these. We don't know how Gabriel was saying this. But Gabriel was representing the Lord. And we know, we're going to see this over and over, especially tomorrow, that he was representing Christ. Christ doesn't shame. He doesn't wag a bony finger at you when you're struggling, when you're disturbed, even when you're saying, "I don't like this," or "I don't get this." He says, "Mary, don't be afraid. You found favor. God's prepared you for this and this for you." So we go on, and again, I say Mary doubted. Again, I need to pull that back. You know, I probably would have even switched that up had the handouts maybe not been printed off. I've actually taught on this before, and this is kind of the first time I just realized that of, you know what? Yeah, maybe she just was questioning and wondering. At the very minimum, she had to dialogue and get some more info. She wanted more information because she's asking a to-be-expected question, right? Like, how can this be? How can this be true? Because what I see, feel, and am in my humanness doesn't match up with this. Because generally, virgins don't just suddenly have babies appear in their womb. And that's what Mary was saying. How is this going to happen? How is this going to be? That is a part, that is somewhat how I felt when God called me on staff at Harvest. "Lord, I'm unmarried. I've never had kids. I've struggled with things. I've not struggled with everything that you're calling me to minister into." And the answer is the same for me as it was for Mary, and as it is for you with what God's calling you to. The answer is this: don't be afraid. The Lord is with you. You're favored. You're loved, daughters. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with this one. Why? Well, because, and this is where we've got to fast forward a bit, the very baby in Mary's womb is God's gracious provision for all of us. This very baby that she was asking, how is this going to be? That very one who is Jesus is God's provision for all of us when we're disturbed or doubting or wondering. I want to read you what Jesus said when he started his public ministry. This is from Luke 4, when Jesus kind of hits the scene publicly. He went into the synagogue, and he took the scroll, which was from Isaiah 61 that day, and he quotes this passage, which was of the Messiah. And he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And I want to just share these next two verses. "Then he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And then he said to them, 'Today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing.'" This is one of those scenes that I would have just loved to have been present at, when Jesus said, "This is fulfilled in your hearing. Like, I am he. I am this Messiah who can heal broken hearts, who can give you new beginnings, who can open blind eyes, who can minister to those deeply disturbed places within us." Those ministries, sisters, which Jesus did and that he does, are what we need, what I need in the midst of real life, when life hits the fan. And here's what I want to challenge us to think this weekend, is that we can experience true joy. Again, not copper bracelet Christianity, But soul settledness, peace, contentment, growth in our own intimacy with Christ. We can experience all those things through this one as we fix our eyes on him. Like the people in that synagogue, we fix our eyes on him. He's the one that has come to dwell within us, offering that joy, complete joy. That's what he says, complete joy. So these are kind of the beginnings of the sweet truths of Scripture that I want us to look at over the course of the weekend and considering together how the very person of Christ and the ministries that he has for us can bring that kind of soul-settled joy into our lives. Let me pray for us. Lord, we do give you praise that you are the one who has come. You have come to minister to us and to love us, to teach us how to celebrate life and to dance within our hearts and to know how to bring our disturbed souls before you, Lord. We just thank you that you can deal with it all and you have a word of encouragement for every situation. And so, Lord, I do pray for my sisters. I pray that you would speak your love, speak yourself, your truth, into each woman, and use the small group time as well to just be a time of sweet fellowship that is true sharing of what is happening in our lives and being pointed to you together. And we pray this, Lord Jesus, because we are yours, and we trust you to do what only you can do, and that is to minister your grace and truth in the very depths of who we are for your glory. Amen.